All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the service this morning, for the time together in fellowship between services, Lord. And now we just come to this last moment this evening of our communion service. And Father, we just ask that your presence would remain here with us. Help us, oh God, to feel your sweetness and your presence. Help us, Lord, to be changed by your word. This we pray. And we ask, Father, that you would help us again, Lord, to just be comforted, Lord, knowing that you who gave the word are here to confirm it. And Lord, that your Son Jesus said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. So Father, all the Father has given me will come to me, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. And so Lord, we're confident, Father, that you're looking out for our good, for all things are working together for those who love you and are thee called according to your purpose. Father, we just commit all these things and ask your blessing upon the word in Jesus' name. Amen. And that you may be seated. This evening we're going to look at the inventing of God. This will be number 171. And Brother Sem let me know that we have the Norwegian sermons up and ready. So when you're listening to Brother Branham, you go to YouTube, you listen to Brother Branham. It's William Branham's sermons, but they're under the Message Doctrine channel. And when you go to that, you can actually be hearing Brother Branham in English, but actually seeing it scrolling in Norwegian. Well, now he let me know this afternoon that he has like 25 to go, and probably by now it's done. But because he's doing 5 machines at a time. So anyway, we had 25 to go in the Spanish, so we'll have all the Spanish up. We have about 465 of the English, so we got about twice that much to go, about another 800 to go or so, or not quite, maybe 700 to go. So we're getting there, and we're going to be working on the French next, and then German after that. So hopefully by sometime this fall, we should have most of the languages that has Brother Branham's messages in the table translated. And then so when you're listening to his voice in English, you'll be able to read it in whatever language that you speak. So if it's German or French or whatever. And that's our little contribution, I guess, to get his sermons out there. Now, this morning we looked at the kingdom of heaven and showed you that it is a place. It's a place we're going, and it's a place where only those who have the Holy Ghost can go. This evening we're going to look at the kingdom of God, and there are 62 scriptures that speak of the kingdom of God spread out throughout all 4 gospels, where 54 of them are placed, and the other 8 are located in epistles of Galatians, Colossians, Romans, 1 Corinthians, and 2 Thessalonians. Brother Branham lets us know that the kingdom of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. From questions and answers, he said, Now, in there, that subconscious, see, that's where your mind. Now, Jesus said, except a man be born again. Now, that's what I want. That's not what I wanted. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, you couldn't see the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit. Remember, God is invisible. He's a spirit. Some standing here will not taste of death till they see the kingdom coming in power, he said. Then the kingdom of God, the Bible said, is within you. It's within you, the Holy Spirit, and you can't see that with your eyes. So see means to understand. Have you ever looked at anything, looked right at it, and say, well, I just don't see it, see? I just don't see it. You mean you don't understand it, see? See? You just don't understand it. To see is to understand, but with your eyes you look at anything, but with the inside, with what's inside of you, you understand with that, you see that. And with the eyes of God you look. Again, from Mark.
Can you go up one more size for us?
Sure. Let me. Twice. Okay. All right, from Mark of the Beast, Brother, I said, now notice, except a man be born again, he can in no wise enter the kingdom. That's right. Now you must come, no matter how religious you are, what all you do, that has nothing to do, not one thing to do. That just makes you a pretty good citizen, but not a citizen of the kingdom there. maybe of this kingdom here. But the kingdom of God is within you. You're born in the kingdom. Kingdom to come. The kingdom of God is the Holy Spirit. You belong to that kingdom. That's the reason women don't bob their hair, don't wear shorts. That's the reason men don't smoke cigarettes and things like that. They're from above. Their spirit teaches them righteousness, holiness. And they don't swear. They don't use bad language and things. Why? They're born from above. They are different. They're citizens from above. So you see the difference is one is a spiritual kingdom and the other is actual literal place where we're going. From deity of Jesus Christ, Brother Ram says, dear brother, sister, if you haven't got the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning, run into the kingdom of God as quick as you can. The sealing time is on. The enemy's coming like a flood. He's raising a standard against it. The drama's set. The church is going home just as certain as anything. See, you haven't got a long ways to wait, friend. You haven't got all that time to wait. You better come now. You better make it today. That's right. While today is today, make it now. Remember, friends, it may seem strange. The religious hype never was popular. It's always been unpopular, the ways of God, because the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He has all the governments. Every government is controlled by the devil, according to the Bible. The devil said it was. That's right. He controls all the governments. And then the Bible said, and it's very, you know, very. I mean, it's very plain to see. Right now, he controls all the governments. I know. There's a lot. Look, there's what we call a Christian right in America. Okay, those are the pretty much the nominal Christian people. They all go to church. They're fundamental. You know, they're evangelical, and they're really, you know, if you notice, they really pushed for war back when Bush was in. You know, those Arabs just nuke them. You know, well, that's not the spirit of Christ. Remember the apostles said the same thing. They said, Lord, you know, they kicked us out of this place and this way. Should we just ask God to send down fire? He said, you don't know what spirit you are. So don't ever do that. You know, just that's, you know, we just want to, our kingdom is not of this world, okay? So he controls all the government. So he controls Trump's government as well. All right. And then the Bible said, rejoice all you holy. And look, I say this because, look, I'm not a, I mean, you know, although I think Trump is much better than Hillary and he's much better than Biden and he's doing things which are for our benefit, but he's not the answer. You know, Jesus Christ is the answer. And honestly, I mean, under Trump's government, you know, it's LGBT, that's okay, and all this other stuff, that's okay, you know. But it's not okay. It's not okay. But, you know, that's to get votes. That's political. That's the devil. And then the Bible said, rejoice all you holy angels and you saints upon the earth, for the kingdom of this world have become the kingdoms of God and of Christ, and they shall reign. Satan took Jesus up on top of the mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and he said, these are all mine, and I'll give them to you. And Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan. That's right. He wasn't care. He said, if my kingdom of this world is of this world, I could call my legions of angels, but my kingdom is not of this world, but my kingdom is in heaven. And he said, the kingdom of God will be within you. So therefore, the legions and powers of the backing of the holy angels, hallelujah, is in you, was born into the deity of Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Who are you this morning? Who is Christ Jesus? He's in you as much as you'll let him be. He's pressing and trying to get into you, to move into you today. And you stand off and wonder and look and gaze and hold back a little while? Don't do that. Move right straight into the kingdom of God. The hour is here. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love him. He's coming one of these days. I want to see him. Don't you? I want to see him. I believe we will see him. Don't you? He's here now. His power is moving. What makes the people cry and shout and go on? What's the matter? Is the Holy Ghost moving in them? If they could only realize and embrace him, embrace the Holy Ghost, believing in him, hug him to your bosom, live right. Do nothing that would hinder him. Say, O Lord Jesus, I want you. I want you to stand by me. I'm going to stand by you, Father. And as you do, he is just pressing to get into you. He wants in there. He's wooing you to him all the time. Now, friends, I know this is to be the truth. I know people don't realize who you are. Every person in here can live above sin, can live without sin, live in God. You make mistakes, but the blood of Christ will forgive you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is that right? That same power of Christ that was hung on Calvary's cross, the same God that raised him up on the day of resurrection, is in you now. You that's got the Holy Ghost, and don't you love him? Oh my, hear his voice a calling today. Now remember, Paul said in Romans 8, he said, if the God who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He'll quicken your mortal body. That means your body that you're living in now. That's why Brother Ransom said every person here can live above sin. Remember, sin is unbelief. You don't, you know, drinking, smoking, and cussing, that's not sin. Those are attributes of sin. Sin is the fact that you don't believe. That's why you do those things. All right? Now, to save time for our community service, let's just go right to reading the scriptures. There are 62 scriptures concerning the kingdom of God. In Luke 17:20, it says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered, said unto them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation." Why? Because it's a spiritual kingdom. It's actually a family. That's what it is. The king is our father. All right? Luke 23:51, "The same has had not consented to the counsel and the deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God." Matthew 20:21-31, "Whether of them twain did the will of his father, they said unto him, the first. And Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom before you." All right? We're just reading these scriptures now to get to the point. Mark 14:25, "Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." Now remember, that's not the New Jerusalem. That's the wedding supper, which is before. That's actually, that's not even here. Okay. From beliefs of this says, I belong to the Baptist. Well, I belong to the Methodist. Go on. If your name's not in heaven, you go to hell too. That's right. Only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life by being redeemed, born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he will not enter the kingdom. Truly, then you're born again. You become a new creature, a new creation in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. In other words, don't get excited about it. Hallelujah means praise our God, and I praise him. Amen. From things that are to be, he says, now notice, in my Father's house is many mansions. I don't mean to add to the word or take from it, because we're not to do that. Revelation 22 said, whoever will add to to the word or take from the word. But let me just make this as not as an additive, but just to bring out a point. In my Father's house is many kinds of mansions. I don't believe that when we get to heaven, that will be just everybody will look just exactly alike. I don't believe that all will be blondes or brunettes or little or big or giants. I believe that God is a God of variety. The world proves that he is. He's got deserts. He's got different things because he made it that way that he wanted it. And he made the seasons in the summer and winter and spring and autumn. He made the seasons. It shows he's a God of variety. He made you in a variety. Now, some men are real blusterous. Anybody know what that word means? Kind of loudmouth. Blusterous. And some are real dogmatic. You know, they just real legalistic, just dogmatic, just, you know, hold your right to the fire. Others are fine. And others are kind. And you just find all kinds of people in his kingdom. So just because a man might be crusty, don't put him up because he's crusty. That's the way he's made. Remember, Brother Bram says that, you know, he likened the ministry to, you know, the fivefold ministry. He had five different ways of the Holy Spirit presenting that word. And Brother Bram said, it's like a bell. You know, they shape a bell to make a certain tone. And they make a bigger bell to make a different tone and a smaller bell to make a different tone. But the one who's conducting, he has control over the tones and that. So if my tone is not the same as Brother Branham's tone, don't get mad at me for it. That's just the way I am. That's the way I, you know, but at least I'm saying what he said. Okay? That's what he's saying here. So not every son of God is alike, neither. Look at John the Baptist and then look at Jesus. Think about it. John the Baptist came. I mean, he didn't even shave and shower and, you know, he wore a camel skin. He ate locusts. He had locust breath. I mean, you know, if he walked in the church today, most people would probably, you know, let's just face it, by appearances, you know, people would just reject him. And yet that man ushered in the kingdom of heaven by introducing the Messiah, the King. Some are feisty in their stand for the gospel, and others are very mild, and Brother Bram said they're kind. You know, look at Brother Vail. Stood right with that word, but I tell you what, he turned a lot of people off because of his tone. All right? Then look at William Branham. You know, he almost came off like too soft, and yet then he come back firing pretty hard. So some are feisty in their stand for the gospel. Others are very mild, and as Brother Branham said, some are kind. It kills me to hear people say, you're not like Brother Branham. I know I'm not like Brother Branham. I don't intend to be like Brother Branham. But I do want to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. All right? No one was like Brother Branham, and no one was like Paul. Look at the difference between Paul and Brother Branham. Brother Branham even called Paul a hook-nosed Jew with a temper. Right? Is that what he said? Brother Branham came, you know, very, very passive and very nice and, you know, real gentle and everything else. Two completely different. Look at Moses. Look at Moses. And then look at Elijah. I mean, Elijah, he called fire down from heaven, burnt up 100 and some, you know, military men. Look at Samuel. What did Samuel do? He took the sword of the king and he hacked in pieces Agag. And if you've got guts to hack a person in pieces, well, that man, he just stood firm. He said, God said not to bring one person back. And so he just hacked the person that was brought back. They thought they'd use it as a political gamesmanship or something. They're different. They're all different. We're all different. Every one of us is different. Look at the Spirit of God upon Elijah. Look at upon Moses. Look at upon Samuel the prophet. Don't compare one to another. That's not right. If they believe and live the same gospel that Jesus died for, they're your brother. So let God be a God of variety. There's no one in here like you, Brother Don. And yet you'll be there. And there's no one in here like Brother Steve. Yet you're going to be there. So let's just let God be the God of variety. Amen? All right. Now everybody in the body is tied together by the one Spirit. We're all baptized into the one body, which is His body, yet many members. Each member is different, as the eyes are from the nose, even though they're in the same head. And just as the same blood that flows through the body feeds the hands, feeds the feet, feeds the eyes, feeds the ears, feeds the nose, and other body parts we won't name, yet by one blood or by one Spirit, we're all members of one body. But we can be very different from one another and still be beneficial to that body. I mean, can you imagine if your feet were like your hands, or your hands were like, if your feet were like your hands, you'd be a monkey. Right? From Satan's Eden, Brother Ram said, now here not long ago, I was teaching you on the seven trumpets, the feast of trumpets, and so forth, and I said, there's an eighth day festival, so the seventh day would be the last. That would be the millennium. But there is an eighth day festival, which if it was the eighth, and there's only 7 days, would make it the first day again. Come right back to the first day. Then after the millennium is over, then there will be an established Eden again. God's great kingdom will be taken back because Jesus fought it out with Satan in the Garden of Gethsemane and won back the Eden, which He's gone to prepare in heaven to return again. To return what? To come and get you. To take you back. So we're going to a place. All right? And yet we could have the kingdom of God is within you now, because you're part of you're birthed into that. All right. The Brother Bram said from Satan's Eden, Isaiah 14, begin with the 12th verse. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. That's suns, stars of God. And I will set also upon the mountain of the congregation the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. And God said, you're not birthed. You're not a son. You don't have my Holy Ghost, my Holy Spirit. Now compare that over here with our other scriptures in Thessalonians a while ago, how he said he sits in the temple of God, exalting himself above all that's called God, so that he as God is worshipped as God upon the earth. There is the God of this world that I preached to you about last Sunday. Here he is today in deceit. That treacherous hour, the tremendous time that we're living, it's the most glorious time of all the ages because we're facing the great millennial again. We're facing the Eden again, but right at this age, all the deceit and every tactic that he's ever used and been able to deceive with, he's gathered it all together and reinforced himself and come down like God and put himself in place of God, religious, and can quote the Scripture and can tell you Scripture, just as Satan did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. But leave out one spot of it is all he has to do, make that gap. That's where the poison doctrine of the devil can pour through. Like the thinking man's filter he was talking about the other night. So you see, even Lucifer had been at one time, he had been in the kingdom of God, but he could never, in the kingdom of heaven, but he could never be in the kingdom of God because he don't have the Holy Ghost. You see? All right. And remember, we read in Job where, the devil came in to, God was sitting there in heaven talking, the devil came up and God was talking about Job, remember? And the devil says, "Well, I can make him curse you to your face." He said, no. So you can go ahead and try. But see, he's already got the he's sealed in because he's in the kingdom of God. You can't put him out. All right. Now, let's just read a few more scriptures on the kingdom of God. Luke 22:18. "For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." Well, it's already come, but not the kingdom of heaven. That's still on its way. Luke 11:20. "But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you." Matthew 12:28. "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you." Okay, John 3:5. "Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." In other words, you can't be born again. Just like we read the quote this morning where Brother Bram was actually quoting Brother Vail in his message, "Humble Thyself," where Brother Vail had said, you know, God would not place his Holy Spirit in an unholy vessel. And yet we got all kinds of people that have an unholy vessel and they claim to have the Holy Ghost. Luke 10:11. "Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth unto us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come near unto you." See, the king was right there, and they put him out. So they dust their feet and go on. Luke 9:11, "And the people, when they knew it, they followed him and received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing." Luke 8:1. "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." Mark 15:43, "Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came, and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus." Luke 13:29, "And they shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God." That's why Brother Bram used to love to sing that song, you know, "They come from the east and west. They come from the lands afar." Alright. Mark 10:25. "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." But remember this, with God all things are possible. So God can even take a rich man and give him the Holy Ghost. Mark 10:14. "But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." Mark 4:11. "And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables." So the parables actually hides the kingdom of God, which is the Holy Spirit, from those trying to get in that aren't supposed to come in. Mark 1:14. "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." Luke 13:28. "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." Now remember, we read that in Matthew, and it says, you're going to see when you get to the kingdom of heaven. And here, he's talking about the kingdom of God. Because you don't get to the kingdom of heaven without having that token, you know, which is your membership or your identification that you're already in the kingdom of God, and therefore when the king migrates back to his kingdom in heaven, you go with him. Now, Luke 9:27, "But I tell you the truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." Luke 8:10, "And he said unto them, Unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might see and not see, and hearing they might not understand." Luke 7:28, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And I like the one translation, it says, you know, he that is the humblest. All right. Mark 9:1, "And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come in power." And Matthew 19:24, "And again I say unto you, it is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Now, you know, one of the theories says, well, you know, Matthew was a Jew, and his gospel is kind of to the Jewish peoples. And so therefore, you know, they don't use the word God. You know, sometimes you see the Jewish writings, they say J-V-H-U and things like that. Or G asterisk D, you know, instead of G-O-D. You know, they won't name the name of God. But here he does. So why would Matthew speak of the kingdom of heaven, the only one that did, and then use also the kingdom of God? Why would he say two different ways? One is the kingdom of Theos, and the other is the kingdom of Uranus. You know, the constellations. Well, because they're two different things. Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John, since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Mark 1:15, and say, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Luke 18:16, but Jesus called them unto him, and said, suffer little children to come to me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Why wouldn't he say, such is the kingdom of heaven? Because the kingdom of heaven is going to be fully matured grown-ups. No babies. But the kingdom of God, we're all children. Right? Okay. Because we're in the same family. Luke 14:15, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Mark 10:24, and the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered them, saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? And Mark, notice this time it's not those that are wealthy, but it's those that trust in their wealth. All right. Mark 4:26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Okay. Now from know that not, Brother Branham tells us, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Whether it be Father, Son, Holy Ghost, whatever it is, he is before all things. Before all things, that's in heaven, in earth, visible, invisible, anything. This Son of God was before all things. That's right. I don't care. Thrones, dominions, whatever it is, heavenly thrones, kingdoms, whatever it might be in the great supernatural realms beyond in the eternities, where it was, whatever it was, angels, gods, plural, notice, whatever it was, he's before all things. Amen. Can't you see him? He was before all things, and were created by him. Now the 17th verse, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. There's nothing can make it run without him. Whether it's God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, whether it's angels, principalities, powers, dominions, whatever it is, all things run by him. All things consist by him. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that is raised up when he came to redeem, that in all things he might have the preeminences, might have preeminence. You know what it means? That's overall. He's over all things that was ever created. Every angel, every being, everything that there is, he's over all things. What creature is this? Who can it be? Over all things and having made peace. Now let's see, I've just a minute. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Who put all things under the feet of Jesus? The Father. All the fullness of all things, all the fullness of God, all the fullness of angels, all the fullness of time, all the fullness of eternity, everything dwells in him. That's this fellow. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. There's that great being we're talking about, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, it was God who placed all things under the feet of his Son Jesus, and as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:27, for he, God, hath put all things under his feet, the Son of God's feet, but when he, God, saith all things are put under him, the Son of God, it is manifest that he, God, is accepted, which did put all things under him, the Son of God. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, the Son of God, then shall the Son also be subject to him, God, that put all things under him, the Son of God, that God may be all in all. So basically, God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. God indwelt that Logos of his Son, the pre-incarnate Son, and created all things, placed all things, put everything out there the way it should be. And so all things that are under the Son, except for the Father, who placed all things under the feet of the Son. It's that simple. Now, from who is this Melchizedek? Brother Brown said, but Melchizedek, after his child Abraham had won the victory, Melchizedek met him and gave him wine and bread, showing that after this earthly battle is over, we will meet with him in the heavens and take the communion again. It'll be the wedding supper. I will not drink no more of the vine or eat of the fruit until I eat and drink it with you anew in my Father's kingdom. That's right. From broken cisterns, Brother Brown says, now any man-made system will keep right in that. He'll blind the thing from the intellectual eyes that that they think. I belong to church. My name is on the book. I did this. My father was this and so forth. That sounds all right, which it is. Nothing to say against it. But still, friends, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot even see. See. See there doesn't mean that he sees with his eyes, but he understands the kingdom of heaven. Until you're born into. How would this Baptist evangelist, how would that man who stood there and criticized and made fun of it, see, there's nothing in him that could even receive it. But God had to do it, see. God gave him the Holy Spirit. He manifested that this was not hypocrisy. This is the Word. He only hears it from a school idea, and they try to take all the blessings of God and place it on a day gone by. Again, from Unveiling of God, he says, now, you can take wheat and plant it in a different kind of soil. It'll never grow. But what? It's got to have certain fertilizer in the ground to raise wheat. And if the fertilizer in the ground isn't, the wheat isn't germinized to that fertilizer, it'll never grow. So no matter where the word falls, if it doesn't fall in the right kind of a heart, Jesus said, some fell by the wayside upon stony ground, and the fowls of the air came and fed on it. And then he said, some fell on thorns and thistles, which raised up and choked out right away. Traditions, denomination, cares of the world choked it. But said, some went into a good ground and brought forth a hundredfold. Said, that's the kingdom of God. It's the same thing. See, some will not believe at all. Some will believe for a little while. Like the disciples, they followed him. Many of them, the 70, followed him for years to find out. About a year and a half or two years, just to find out if they could find something in him. Like some way that he had some power to do these things. Like a rabbit foot or a magician or some sort. What he could do to produce these things. How he could know what was in the people's hearts and what they were thinking. And they finally found out that he said that he come down from heaven. He was the Word himself. And when they did, that was too much for them. They said, no man can understand this. And they walked away from him. That's those who fell among the thorns. Okay? So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're already condemned because you've been in the mess too long. All right? You better get the Holy Ghost. That's all I can say. We've seen people over the years come, go, come, go, come, go. Come, stay for a while, then go. They come back. Stay for a little bit, then go. Then come back, stay for a little bit, then go. This back like a yo-yo, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. God, the Holy Ghost is not a yo-yo. Paul said, if you vacillate, you're not going to get anything. And that's the trouble, they vacillate. Because they're trying to take God's word and their own word and justify. And you can't justify God's word with your word. You just have to let go of your word and say, if God be true, let every man's word be a lie. That's it. The kingdom of heaven is like a man that took a net from Christ, identified the same. He said, now my brother here, the ministers, shaking their hand. I'm certainly glad to see this bunch of ministers that's sponsoring in this campaign. And I'm not here to bring anything new, but just to lace my net with theirs. I like this. You know, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a man that took a net and went to the lake and cast it in. And when he drew the net in, he had all kinds in this net. Now, we're fishermen then. And there's just so many fish in that lake that God wants. And when the last fish is out, it's all over then. Now, we don't know when that last fish will be taken out of it. And now I'm here. One net, we'll say, will reach so many feet. Another net will reach so many feet. Then we put all the nets together. I lace mine with theirs. And we can reach out a little further. And maybe in that can get a hold of some that we could not have gotten a hold of otherwise. I remember years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, it was when Brother, was working with Brother Alvino Beretta. He was a physician in India, and he had gone to Saudi Arabia. And so we had to send stuff from our hospital, I was at Children at the time, to his hospital. I was sending discs and stuff in between books, you know, AMA books, you know, journals, the Journal of JAMA, Journal of American Medical Association. And I would send them like that, and I was, like when I sent them a laptop, I put all the message, you know, all the Bible and all the message, you know, our search engine, I put it into the system 32 files, you know, so that, you know, basically, because I knew that they have a police there that they look at everything. They're a thought police. And if you got scripture, you're not allowed to have a Bible there. I mean, you know, you can. And if you're a person that's there's a holiday, you got to keep that on yourself. If you're caught sharing that Bible with anybody, you know, you can go to jail. So very, very strict. So that's how we did it. And And, you know, that's how, you know, we try to get the word in. But I realized that at that time, we had 189. We have 190-some now, but we had 189 countries coming to our website. And that was maybe less than 10 years after we began the website. At that time, the Voice of God only had 165. So we actually were getting the doctrine into places that the Voice of God had not even reached yet, which I don't understand that, but that's what happened. But now the Voice of God has caught up. We've got 190 plus in both. And Brother Bassett is one that's connected with the other, and we're doing things together. And, you know, that net's getting stronger, and it's getting out there. So, anyway. So, if you go to the parables in 2003, you'll see that that was actually brought out in the parables. The parable of Christ, that net, is cast into the sea. And John says the sea is people's nation, multitudes of tongues. It could only be one net. If it's one net, you know, it's got to be an internet. And it could not have come in any other age except for this age. Now, from the message influence, he said, "He that believeth all things are possible, not him that unbelieveth. One speck of unbelief against the word of God, and you'll stay out of the kingdom of heaven." It took Eve out. It caused all of this trouble. It wants just to pervert the word just a little bit. You've got to stay straight with it, what it says. And from "We're Falling Apart Again," he says, "But listen, in closing, I want to say this. We are not promised a system. We're not promised a denomination, a super denomination, a super plan of some sort. But we're promised a kingdom, an eternal kingdom." Amen. That's what we're promised. Having eternal life is in this eternal kingdom, and the government is controlled by the eternal king. His eternal word given out to his people that has eternal life. And the eternal life people feast upon, not upon the things of the world, but it's written that man shall not live by man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So when we both, now, we receive this kingdom, and we find out that both heaven and earth will pass away, but this word shall never pass away. And this word is the kingdom. This is the kingdom. This is the king and kingdom, the system, the life. It's every bit right here. So honestly, if you have the word of God in its fullness in you, you have God in you. You have God life in you. And the only way you could understand it is to have the Holy Ghost. All right, because in the beginning was who? The Word. And the Word is with God, and the Word was God. All right, and he's the King. Now, let's just read some more scriptures. Luke 10 and 9. "And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh to you." Luke 9, 62. "And Jesus said unto them, no man hath, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Why? Because you can't have your own spirit and God's spirit. I mean, you can't have your own thoughts and God's thoughts. It just doesn't mix. You know, you can't be looking backwards and, you know, looking backwards and going forwards. And the natural says you're not going to plow a straight road. You're going to be all over the place. Luke 9:60, "Jesus said unto them, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Luke 9:92, "And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." Matthew 21:43, "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." Mark 12:34, "And when Jesus saw that he had answered discreetly, he said unto them, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any more questions." Mark 10:23, "And Jesus looked around and he saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they have riches enter into the kingdom of God." Mark 10, and why is that? Because if the kingdom of God really is the mind of Christ, and you're spending all your time trying to make money, you got something wrong there. You know, it's like Brother Brown, I heard one place said, you know, the Bible says, "And the common man heard him gladly." He said, the rich man's always trying to make money, and the poor man, or no, the poor man, he's always trying to make money. The rich man, he says, he's always trying to hold on to what he's got. But it's the common people. The people had a job. They had food on the table. They're the ones that heard him gladly. Mark 10:15 says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." Mark 9:47, "And if thine eyes offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into the fire." Mark 4:30, "And he said unto them, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it with?" So he gets into another parable there. Now, from "The World Falling Apart," Brother Branham said, "But you see, when they ask these things and ask for this, they don't ask Jesus. They don't ask as Jesus said. We try to make God like an errand boy. Lord, you do this for me, and you do this for me, and you go do that, and you tell them what to do. Well, Jesus said, when you pray, pray that like this manner: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done. Listen, that's like a child. Anybody with children here? Yeah, a few of you, right? What do? They come up and they just sugar you up. And you know, when they do that, they got something in mind. They want something. Well, he says, don't do that with God. When you go to God, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. How many times have you seen a little child come up and say, Daddy, what would be pleasing? What would please you? No, Daddy, I want this, I want that. See? Who find where we do that? We're always wanting God to run errands for us, to do something for us. But when we're willing to say, Thy will be done, commit ourselves to Him, commit our ways to Him, all that we are committed to Him, that's when God will move. When you're willing to let Him work on you, not you work on Him. Now remember, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do, what? His good pleasure. He didn't say He would work in you to do your good pleasure. Just keep that in mind. All right, and then from world falling apart, Brother Branham says, and now in the book of Hebrews, 14th chapter, beginning of 25th verse, see that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies a removing of things that are shaken as the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. There, wherefore, we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. From world falling apart, Brother Branham tells us, but listen, I'm closing. I want to say this. We are not promised a system. We're not promised a denomination, a super plan of some sort. But we're promised a kingdom, an eternal kingdom. Amen. That's what we're promised, having eternal life in this eternal kingdom, and the government is controlled by the eternal King, his eternal word given out to his people that has eternal life. And the eternal life people feast upon the things, feast not upon the things of the world, but it's written, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So when we boast now, we receive this kingdom, and we find out that the both heaven and earth will pass away, but this word shall never pass away, and this word is the kingdom. This is the King and kingdom, the system, the life. It's every bit right in here. All right, just a few more and we'll close. From worlds falling apart, it says, we are dead, our lives are hid in God through Christ. And not only that, but we're raised with Him. Raised up in a system. Raised up what? In a system, a denomination, organization? No, we are resurrected in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. Why? All these man-made systems must fall. Not once more I'll shake the world, but I'll shake heavens, and those things that cannot be shook is what will remain. And we receive a kingdom, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shook or removed. That's the kingdom of God. Not a system, not a political wheel, not a denomination, but it's a kingdom. Amen. And its subjects is dead to the systems of the world. Its subjects are dead to these organizations, it's dead to these political systems, and it's alive and resurrected by the power of the King. And now we're in the kingdom, setting in heavenly places with the eternal King, enjoying eternal life by the eternal word, going to an eternal heaven forever to be with Him. Hallelujah. Living in the presence of the King. Oh, I love Him. I'm so glad to be one of them. I'm so glad to be dead in Christ, alive in the kingdom of God. This is not my home. We seek a kingdom. We seek the King. We're already in the kingdom. We're seeking the King to come, and the King quickly will come to His kingdom, for we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. All these other things are falling apart. America's falling apart. Europe is falling apart. Asia's falling apart. All the worlds are falling apart. But we are in a kingdom, an eternal kingdom. It cannot be moved. Amen. Where Christmas is every day. Amen. Living in the presence of the King. Glory. Don't have to guess about that. It is the truth. God's truth. God's complete truth. How I love Him for this. How good He is. Notice living in the presence of the king. That's his parousia. Our king has come. He has appeared in this hour to gather together his people for his kingdom. Then his son comes, and then the king enters that body once again of his son. And we, yes, we crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And from the sermon, look, he said, what are you looking at? To them that look for Jesus the second time, he will come in glory unto salvation. To take us out of this sinful world, out of the sin and stuff that we're in. You believe that? Now look and live. The only thing that you can do is look. Take the word. As a serpent on the pole represented the living word that would be made flesh, so does the word today represent the presence of the Holy Spirit when we see it vindicated among us. He's in our little cell this morning. Won't you listen to him while we bow our heads? Look and live, my brother. Look and live. Oh, look to Jesus now and live. And then he sings a song. It's recorded in the word. Hallelujah. It is only that we look and live. Look and live. You all know the song. Look to Jesus now and live. It's recorded in the word. Hallelujah. It is only that we look and live. And then from greater than Solomon, he said, grant it, Lord, that the kingdom of God will soon be established in the earth. You're coming for your delegates. Hallelujah. You're coming for your delegates. I like that. From the message, pardon, and how do you know your delegates? How does he know the delegates? Their names were written in the book of life before the Lamb was even slain, before the foundation of the world. What's that? You have an attribute of God, which is the thought of God in you, which is the life of God. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's that? The word. All right. Brother Ransom, the same Logos that came out of God was a part of God, because God is a Logos. That was the Son of God. He said, and you, every son of God that's born by the Spirit of God, is Logos. All right? So we're all Logos. From pardon, he says, but there is a standard, that is your word. And your word said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he cannot understand it. He must accept it by faith and be born again, and then he will understand it. See is to understand. All right? And then just a few scriptures now in close. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Luke 22:16, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And Luke 21:31, so likewise ye, when ye see all these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is near at hand. And Luke 19:11, and as he heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was in Jerusalem. It was near to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should come immediately appear. Luke 18:29, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake. All right. And then Luke 18:25, for it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Luke 18:24, and when Jesus saw these things, he was very sorrowful. He said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. Luke 18:17, verily I say unto you, whatsoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Luke 17:21, neither shall they say, Lord here, Lord there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now remember, kingdom of God is that spiritual kingdom. You're part of that family. You're birthed into it. You're born into it. Luke 13:20, and again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? Luke 13:18. Then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? And then Luke 12:31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Luke 6:20, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Luke 4:43, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Luke 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We sing that song sometimes. 2 Thessalonians 1:5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Colossians 4:11, and Jesus, which is called justice, who are of the circumcision, these are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort to me. So Paul is actually, remember, 2 Thessalonians 3 says he took the Holy Spirit like he would take a pen, and he etched it into the hearts of the people by the word of God. Galatians 5:21, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? What's the unrighteous? Unrightwiseness. Okay? those was the wrong understanding. Be not deceived, neither fornicators or idolaters or adulterers, nor effeminate, that's LGBTs, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. 1 Corinthians 15 and 50. Now this is saying, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Why? Because the kingdom of God is not fleshy. It's spirit. It's life. 1 Corinthians 6 and 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor reviled, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 4 and 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And Romans 14 and 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And finally, in closing, Brother Branham said, now, from how can I overcome? He said, I said, a kingdom. And by one Spirit, we're all baptized into that kingdom. By one Spirit. All into this kingdom. Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, and he stood one day before Mount Transfiguration. He said, verily I say to you, that some shall stand here, shall not taste of death until they see the kingdom come in power. And it was foreshadowed, as we've been through it, Mount Transfiguration. And the Bible says, the kingdom of God is within you. So this is a kingdom, people, that professes that this is not their home. This is not our home. We are looking for the coming of the King to set up the kingdom. And never forget, Hebrews 9:28 tells us, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin, unto salvation. And then from this day of the scripture, he said he only appears to those who are looking for him, and we're supposed to be looking for him. So we show the difference that we're going to a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, but now, if you have the Holy Ghost, you are already birthed into the kingdom of God. And a king and a kingdom is a king and his domain, all right, his people. It's not about a piece of property. It's about a relationship with the king. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for that relationship. Because, Lord, not only understanding that you had a son, a firstborn son, but knowing also that we are to be conformed to the image of that firstborn son, that we are all sons. And so, Father, we're birthed into that kingdom. And so, Father, we just pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And Father, we don't care what happens to this country. We do care, but we don't. In a way, Father, we just don't. We know the way it's going to go, so we don't fret about it. But, Father, we just, it's still, you know, we sigh and cry for the abominations that are done in the city. It's all witchcraft. It's all satanic. All this BLM and LGBTQ and all this other agendas, Father, it's just the devil. And we will not stand for that, Father. But yet, like Jesus said, if this were my kingdom, then I'd call for my angels. They'd come and they'd battle for me. But, Father, this is not our kingdom. And so, Lord, we're just sojourners, and we shouldn't get too tied down to what's going on, because we're sojourners. We're seeking a city to come whose builder and maker is God. So, Father, we just commit our walk through this sojourning time. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. While the brothers are bringing the elements, I would just like to say there's people that come to our website and they watch our streaming and stuff. In fact, there's some people from Ashburn, Virginia, and if you're watching, I'd just like to say that I really appreciate you've been faithful with us. I don't remember how many years now, but quite a long time, and you're there every time we have service just about, and I would just like to say thank you, and if you have any questions that you would like, we have our website attached to the, we have our email address attached to the website, and so if you have any questions, just feel free to write us. And let us know. And God bless you. God bless all of you. And so we turn in our Bibles now to John chapter 3. And we'll just take for our text, the communion text. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and he went to God, he rises from supper, laid aside his garment, took the towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answering him, and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answering him said, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Then Peter, Simon, saith unto him, Well, then, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he saith, You are not all clean. So after he had washed your feet, and had taken his garment, and was set down again, he saith unto them, Know ye what I have done for you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I speak not unto you, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you, before it comes to pass, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Let's just bow our heads at this time. Brothers.
Lord, in the name of the Father, thank you for this opportunity and privilege, Lord, to send us to instruct us to, Lord.